How we long that you may be encouraged and find out more and more how strong are the bonds of Christian love. How we long for you to grow more certain in your knowledge and more sure in your grasp of God Himself. May your spiritual experience become richer as you see more and more fully God's great secret, Christ Himself. For it is in Him and in Him alone that men find all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Here now is David Johnston, teaching on your selected topic to help you in your walk with Christ.
Okay, we want to talk about Bible principles of doing business. We started this last Sunday, so this is the second part. We intended to get to it Wednesday. I don't know if we'll get done today, but we learned a few things. And for those who didn't know what that meant on their top there, it means there ain't no such thing as a free lunch. And we've learned a few things about business already. I'm going to do a brief review. But before I do, maybe you wonder if you're made for management or not. And here's a little test of whether you're management material. Are you ready? You like not doing anything. I'm not serious. You have no trouble telling others what to do. You are starting to qualify as management material. Work fascinates you. You can sit and watch it for hours. You like sweating the small stuff. You've always been something of a loner. Your favorite drink is milk of magnesia. And lastly, you enjoy having people despise you just for doing your job. Those are some of the qualifications for management. But I wanted to take the testing thing a little bit further and see if you were qualified to be a professional of any sort. And so I was able to locate a test. And the following small quiz, it's only four questions, but it tells whether you are qualified to be a professional. According to the statistics of Anderson Worldwide, around 90% of professionals fail the following exam. So are you ready to take the test? First question, are you ready? How do you put a giraffe into a refrigerator? Now, if you are a professional and you were asked how to do that, you need to know the answer. The correct answer is open the refrigerator door, put the giraffe in, and close the door. This question tests whether or not doing simple things, you do simple things in a complicated way or not. Secondly, how do you put an elephant into a refrigerator? Now, the wrong answer is open the refrigerator, put in the elephant, and close the door. The right answer is open the refrigerator, take out the giraffe, put the elephant in, and close the door. This tests your prudence. A third question is this. The Lion King is hosting an animal conference. All the animals attend except one. Which animal does not attend? The elephant, because he's still in the refrigerator. This tests whether you have the ability to think comprehensively or not. Well, if you haven't been doing too good, perhaps you get the last question. There's a river, which is lived in by crocodiles. How do you manage to cross the river? Answer, simply swim. All the crocodiles are attending the animal conference. So, I don't know how you fared at that, but we certainly are interested in learning the basics of how to do business. And last Sunday morning, here is what we covered. Christians are to be responsible in business matters. Do not be slothful in business. We are to be responsible. Secondly, we learned that business must never interfere with a proper relationship with God. You cannot squeeze God into the business relationship. You have to squeeze the business into the God relationship. Well, what would it profit a man if he gained the whole world and lost his soul? It's more important to be in right relationship with God than your business. And then business was never interfere with my marriage. And we went to the Old Testament and found the scripture. When a man has taken a new wife, he shall not go out to war, and neither shall he be charged with any business. He's not to do business for 1 year, but he shall be free at home for 1 year, and he shall cheer up his wife, which he had taken. He is to establish the marriage and minister to his wife takes more important than two things here: national security, warfare, and more important than doing business. So business for a married man who's newly married must be pushed out of the way for 1 year. Military work must be pushed out of the way for 1 year when you got married. Now, this is very important. And what is important, because we went to the New Testament version of this, a man loving his wife like Christ loved the church. Well, what kind of love is that? It's supreme. It's higher than business. How do we know that? Because it says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for a friend. And as Christ laid down his life for us, so we men lay down our lives for our wives. So this Old Testament concept is not foreign to New Testament principle. My question became, well, why a year? And I think there are several reasons. One, it takes that long to get the marriage off on a right start. If your marriage did not get off on the right start, if it still hasn't got on track, you need to push national security out of your mind. You need to push business out of the way and do what God calls a higher priority. Cheer up your wife. Get the relationship with your wife perfected. Because you'll do more business with a right relationship with your wife than you would without that right relationship. Did you hear? Men, you will do more business properly with the support of your wife because you have given the time to get that relationship together than you would if you just ignore it and hope for the best. Secondly, probably takes a year to establish a new habit, a new lifelong priority. Now watch this, a lifelong priority and pattern of, look at this now, always putting marriage, your marriage, before your business. It is possible for a marriage to start out right with all the glow and everything else, and then the guy gets in business, and business has a way of encroaching on a marriage. We say to ourselves, well, we'll work hard for a few years and then we can slow down later, get back in touch later. It never happens. God says, I want you to take a year, no business, to establish a lifelong pattern that you will never let your business interfere with your marriage. The third reason, methinks, of establishing another pattern of giving my highest attention to my wife, more important than national security, more important than business so that I can love her in Christ with the church. The fourth business, we learned the Sabbath principle. This is a business principle. 6 days shalt thou labor, do all thy work. You get more done in six, taking the seventh off, than you will working seven. The only thing we're allowed to do is prepare food. No manner of work shall be done in them, save that which every man must eat. That's all that can be done. Then we learn to work during the day. A man goes forth and he works until the evening, not day and night, day only. We are children of the light, so we learn to work during the daytime. We learn that administrative employment is not always best. Here's how Solomon put it. There's a time where a man rules over another man to his own hurt. It isn't always good to be ruling over others and be high up the executive. In fact, in terms of ministry things, back in my former days, way back, I mean, I've been in this thing for 37 years or so, I watched men with a ministry get promoted out of their ministry into administrative jobs, and the ministry got lost. Because they were good, they got promoted. They worked in the district. They worked at the national office. And they do it to their own hurt, because getting ahead, if you follow our scale here, is not the same as going up the ladder. And we learned that we should seek to understand commerce, the big business picture. And we went through the details of this last week. He said, I applied my heart to know two things, wisdom and to see the business that is done upon the earth. And Daniel School students need to be exposed to the whole world of commerce, as each of us does, to understand how business works. Critically important. Eighth, we learn that we need to understand investing before doing so. And here's the scripture, main scripture I know about investing. Here it is. Cast your bread upon the waters. I wonder where that, have you got any bread, referring to money, came from? It came from the scriptures. Came from this text. Cast your bread upon the waters. You'll find it after many days. Give a portion to seven and also to eight. This is about diversity in investment. You should invest in 15 different ways if you're going to invest. Not one, not three. Now watch this, because the scripture tells us the reason. Give a portion to seven and also to eight, because you know not what evil shall come upon the earth. It is in the face of all the uncertainties that come to the earth. Boy, haven't we experienced them here? And probably will yet again. So make sure that in investment, you do it 15 ways. We learn that diligence is a key quality, key character quality that guarantees success. Seest thou a man diligent in his business? He shall stand before kings. He shall not stand before mean men. And we learn how to learn diligence by looking at the ant, observing her ways. And also, we learned by the consequences of slothfulness. And then last week, we ended with this one, be faithful in money matters. So, okay, let's go. Number 11, we're up to date. Let me look at the clock. Clock starts now. Amen. Here's another principle of Scripture. Faithfulness to an employer may lead to business ownership. Let me tell you one thing for sure, that unfaithfulness to an employer will not lead to a successful business ownership. Business ownership is a lot more difficult than it's fantasized to be, glamorized to be. There's no clock you have to punch. There's no boss that says you have to be there. There's nobody who says you have to get certain job done by a certain time. Let me tell you something. That's serious. If you haven't learned to discipline yourself, okay, never work in business. Now watch this. If you've not been faithful in that which is another man's, if you didn't look after his best interests, here's the question. Who shall give you that which is your own? So the plain implication of the scripture is here that if we are faithful in the service to our employers, it may well be by doing so that we will get that which is our own. Now, much could be said about this. Faithful in another man's matters involves not just doing what you have to do. It has to do with learning the whole scheme of things so you can serve your employer better. Learning how to anticipate in advance what your employer will need and meeting that need before asked to. That's called, by character definition, initiative. So many things are learned by faithfulness in that which is another man's, which may well qualify us to have that which is our own. Then we must learn to make sure that we don't serve money, but serve God. This is the same passage. No man can serve two masters. This is the verse quoted by the little boy, by the father to the son. When the son said, Dad, where does the Bible say a man can't have two wives? And his dad couldn't find one. He quoted this verse. No man can serve two masters. I think it was a misuse of scripture, but no man can serve two masters. Watch this now. You'll hate the one and love the other, or hold to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. One of them is going to be the basis of decision making. If you move the making of money as the core basis of decision making, you are serving a false god. That false god is dictating what you do, how you spend. God should have no competition in our lives for the God position. Because if your basis of making business decision is God and His Word, principles herein, you will always succeed. Let's look at a couple more scriptures here. He that trusts in riches shall fall. But the righteous, those who do what's right according to God, shall flourish as a branch. Don't serve money, serve God. Now, there's a dozen reasons for this, and it's beyond our parameters to get into them, but I'm going to give into some of them. But before I do that, watch here. He that trusts in riches shall fall. Now, it's interesting that the connection, he that troubles his own house shall inherit the wind. What's happening here? These verses next to each other indicate how clearly that if a man serves money, serves his business ahead of God, look at this, it will trouble his house. It will mess up the home. And I suggest to you, as we learned last Sunday, when we went through the book of Ephesians and outlined the priorities set in the book of Ephesians by God, that there is God, then our spouse, then our children, then our vocation, our job, then our ministry must be in that order, or you'll have trouble in the house. Now, we should study demographics. I have not done sufficiently yet, but it's on my agenda. It was interesting this week because we went to a luncheon to hear Sheriff Rutherford speak. And Sheriff Rutherford, it was a delightful time. Spent out of the 35 minutes or so that he used, spent 30 minutes giving his testimony how important Jesus was to him. It was great. 30 minutes, 5 minutes on being sheriff of Duval County. I think he's got his priorities right, don't you? It was really good. The sheriff of Clay County was in attendance, as well as Wally and others that were there. As you know, there's been an increase in murder in Jacksonville this year. It's of great concern. Great concern. So he shared with us some of the demographics of the murders. They were absolutely startling. Almost everybody was murdered by somebody they knew real well. That's pretty far out. Better listen. Demographics are important. They tell us the story. The second thing he told us was that the murders were largely committed over incidentals. He gave us case-specific illustration, which I couldn't and won't bother doing to you because I couldn't do it as accurately as he. Of in a restaurant, and somebody offended someone else, his girlfriend. So the guy went out, got his gun, came back in, shot the guy who offended his girlfriend because he said something to her that he just didn't like the way it sounded. The demographics showed that numbers of murders took place over silly, stupid. Let me give the scripture for it. You want the scripture for it? Listen to this now. Only by pride comes contention. Somebody's pride got, I wouldn't even say trampled on. Somebody's pride was jarred ever so slightly. And it ended up in murder. All right. Now, I tell you that to tell you this. We need to do some serious in-church study on the demographics of divorce. I want to suggest to you that I suspect, on the basis of what I know of God's word, that high on the cause list of divorce is the misplacement of business ahead of spouse. Look at the scripture. If somebody puts money as their trust base, If they need it more than they need God, if they want it more than they want God, this scripture makes it certainly unquestionable that he will trouble his own house. Now watch this. And in addition, he shall inherit the wind. Not much. Here's why. When you try to save your life, you lose it. You mess with what God says is true. You're taking high-risk agenda. When you put business ahead of your spouse, you trouble your house, and God says that in the end, you'll get the wind. Now watch this. It doesn't end here. Look at the next phrase. And you'll end up being a servant. Well, why would you end up being a servant? Watch now. Because God calls this man, he that trusts in riches, he calls him a fool. That's why Jesus made it really clear. Lay not up for yourself treasures on earth, where moth and rust is corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. He's a fool. But, dearly beloved, we live in a generation of fools. We must be careful as Christian entrepreneurs and business people that we do not do foolishly. And the opposite of doing foolishly is to do wisely. And what is wisdom but to see business from God's perspective? On the other hand, he that does it right, that's what this word righteous means, the fruit of those who do what's right instead of trusting in riches, they are righteous. Here are the righteous here, and it's connected down here. The benefit, the spin-off, the fruit of it is a tree of life. Now watch this. And he that winneth other people's thinking to the same idea is a wise man. Don't serve money, serve God. Oh, here's some of the reasons I was going to tell you. Remember the Lord thy God. Now watch it. For it is he, the Lord, that giveth thee the power to get wealth. If you try to save your life, you lose it. But if you lose it for my sake and the gospel's, you find it. And this paradox applies to financial things. You reach, you clutch, you grab, you grasp to get, and it slips through your fingers, it's gone. That's why it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his rightness, and all the rest of the stuff will be added unto you. So, it's God that gives you the power to get wealth. Now, it's an interesting phrase of why God does this. God does it that he may establish his covenant, which we swear to your fathers. He does it because it's part of covenant. The highest order of any human life is to get into covenant relationship with God. You know that covenant requires blood. In fact, the word means to cut. Boy, maybe we should spend a couple of weeks on that subject. Of course, that's what Jesus provided the blood for. So you could get into a blood relationship, a covenant relationship with God. And he says, if you'll keep the covenant, I will give you the power to get wealth. Hallelujah. So don't give up. Go forward. I've got to keep going. Number 13. Most business is temporary. Now, I'll tell you what I think is meant by that, but let's look at the scripture first. Here's what Solomon says. I looked at all the works that my hands had wrought, and all the labor, all the work and all the labor that I had labored to do. If there ever was a smart businessman in history, it was Solomon. And if we were to parade before you his financial achievements, they would astound you, even by today's standards. But after I looked at my work and beheld all the labor which I labored to do, look what he says. It was vanity. It was vexation of spirit, and there was no profit under the sun. Now, look at this phrase, there's no profit under the sun. Because real profit has nothing to do with what is under the sun. Real profit has to do with that which is far beyond the sun. So, having said that, my goal here is to help you balance, and that's a key word, balance. All truth must be balanced. If you take any one truth and put it out of relationship with other truth, it becomes error. Must be balanced with other truth. Huh? Balance. What needs to be balanced here is the value of business, the importance of business versus the unimportance of business. You can take something that's really legitimate and push it out of perspective and you get out of balance. Your life becomes ruled by something God never intended to rule it. So here is what we need to learn is that business is important, but not too important, because if it becomes too important, it will ruin the other stuff of your life, which is also important. Things like marriage, children, family, and caring for the poor, and loving your neighbor, and preaching the gospel. Let's take a look at another verse. There is that which scatters, and yet it increases. Oh, this is mighty. There is that which is withholding more than is meat, but it tends to poverty. If you put business in the God position, you'll be tend to only think in profit all the time. And there is that which seeks to hold in, keep those profits, but it tends to poverty. And there is that which scatters, and yet it causes increase. It's important, but not too important. I think this is the reason why Jesus said, lay not up for yourself treasures on earth, but lay up for your treasures in heaven. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. I think it's the reason why the scripture teaches us this. Set your affection on things above, and not on things of the earth. Whatever you set your affections on will rule your life. So if you set your affections on successful business, it'll rule your life instead of God. And you'll end up in poverty. I know a lot of people with a lot of money who are very poor. I know a lot of people don't have much money, but they're very rich. You see, there's that which is withholding, or scattereth rather, and causes increase. Let's look at the next verse. The next verse says, the liberal soul shall be made fat. Oh, let me give you my version of it, okay? The liberal soul will be made fat in his wallet. Why? Because we don't do business man's way, we do business God's way. And he gives the power to create wealth. I'm amazed at the workings of God. Can I tell you last 24-hour versions of the workings of God? I mean, this is amazing. My wife needed to do a business call down in Bradenton, so we thought, you know, I'll take her down Friday afternoon. We didn't get out of town until 2:30 or so, but I'll get back in time for church Sunday morning. I wouldn't miss here for anything. So I had no idea. I took the coach, looked up on the internet, and found this place. I swear we'll go. I followed them up, paid my $30 to stay overnight. And we're driving there. I'm following the instructions. She reaches into her purse and pulls out her instructions about where this job site is. It's next door to where we stayed overnight. Like, what are the chances of that, pray tell? I mean, so honey, let's, on the way home, what would you like to do? Everybody know the answer? Shop. Where will we shop, honey? I forget the name of the place, International Plaza or something in Tampa. You know, I go to Neiman Marcus. I don't spend any money, I just look around. Think about all the poor people who spend $1,100 for a jacket that I can buy for two. But who was this mall? Walking down the mall. Now let me give you a background. 2 days. When did I meet Jesse? Was it Tuesday? Wednesday. Was it Wednesday? Thursday. Day before. I have a business meeting here in this office. It's about the internet and all that stuff. And now I'm walking down the corridor of this mall, and a man calls my name. And I told, and lo and behold, he said, I was talking with the same guy that I met the day before here in the office. I was talking with him yesterday, and he had his children there, and his wife was there, about 4 children, 5 children. And he said, in fact, about an hour ago, when we pulled into the mall, we're thinking about you guys. Talking about it. Let me tell you what happened. Let me tell you how critical that meeting was. I discovered that the man that I'm going to be involved with business-wise desperately needs the word of God about a critical area. Life. I never would have known. You see, there's a God who's fully capable of orchestrating stuff. In fact, the Bible says beyond what you could ask or think. Imagine. Wonderful. Now, when it comes to business, he does not want your business running
your life. He reserves that place, that most holy place, for himself. Because he's holy. He's the only one qualified. He's the only one wise enough. He's the only one that cares about you sufficiently to occupy the God position in your life. So business is important, but it can't be too important. There's that which scattereth, yet causes increase. There is that which is withholding, but tendeth towards poverty. Watch. Because the liberal soul made fat. And in business, if you withhold, hold out till the price is better. Hold the corn until there's starvation. You can get higher dollars for it. The people will curse him. But blessing shall be upon the head of him that sells it. Why? I don't want you to miss this. It's because of the God factor. If there were no God, then all the rules of the accountant and the mathematician would apply. But they do their calculations without factoring in the most important factor, God, who is able to make all things abound towards you. So it's important, but not too important. And this is an important principle of business. If you're going to work, work. Don't let it rule your life, but when it's time to work, develop a mind to work. This is a mental condition. This is an attitude. This is an approach to work and to business. And the walls in the book of Nehemiah never would have been built. I mean, look at the obstacles they had. Poor tools, poor resources, all the walls falling down. And military people opposed to them, shooting at them while their arrows at them, and swordsmen coming at them and attacking them while they're trying to build the walls. But Nehemiah gives us a secret. We built the wall. And the wall was joined together, half done. Here's the reason. We built it. We built it. We did it. Why? For the people had a mind to work. When the clock starts, all dilly-dallying should stop. Hello. All unnecessary interruptions should be turned down. All distractions. And we get a mind to work. It's a business principle. It will enable you to do more work in less time so this thing doesn't rule your day and night. Develop a mind to work. Here's a supporting principle. Put your might into your work. Put your might in it. Put your energy. Put your soul. Put your strength. If it takes physical strength, use physical strength. Whatsoever your hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. Do it at the maximum ability that you can do it. It's a business principle. Now, careful, because all these principles need to be balanced with one another, and you need to really balance this with doing it with all my might starts at this
hour of the day, and it ends at this time of the day. And that's why when you get home to your wife or your children, you should do that with all your might. If you work too long hours at the job, you come home, and guess what? Who will get ignored? And you'll sit on your couch and veg and think you deserve. Notice the scripture. Whatever your hand finds to do, this isn't just about business. If it's time to do something for your spouse, let me tell you something. Listen, you need to put your might into your marriage. Hello. You need to put your might into raising children. You need to put your might into honoring your parents. You need to put your might. Whatever you do, don't be half-hearted about anything. Let it be said of you. You may only be a one-talent person, but let it be said that you used 100% of your one talent. Because if you will, you will be functioning in a business principle that God backs up. A business principle that God says yay and amen to. A way that God in his wisdom can... Let me tell you something. The qualifications that God requires are a lot different than the qualifications men require. Who's the guy with Gideon and mixed up with who was treading out in the barn, the farm, treading out. God said, "The Almighty Man of Valor." What's Gideon? Yeah, sometimes get the Gideon. You can just about take anybody in the Bible. Or Moses. And God says, Moses, I want you to go and set free. Now imagine this. He wants Moses to be the leader of over 1 million people that are enslaved to a nation that's militarily armed to their teeth, Egypt. Set them free. And Moses said, "Look, God, I'm slow of speech. Have you ever thought because you were slow of speech that you couldn't do very much? You listen to these super salesmen and get enough of their self-help books and they're smooth-talking, slick, and silver-tongued, and God passes them by almost all the time. Because that guy's depending on what? But God finds a Moses. Can't speak. Imagine the president who can't make speeches very well. And then God, in heaven, is sending an angel. He says, "Angel, I want you to go to Israel. I want you to deliver a message for me." And give me the liberty of transliterating here a bit. Angel, when you see this guy, you will not be impressed. His hair is going to be messed up probably. He's going to be working in the mill. And angel said, "Well, okay, God, sure, I'll deliver a message. What's the message?" And God says, here's the words. You used them exactly as I give them to you. And you go to that man, and this is what you say. Thou mighty man of valor. Jump back. Who, me? What do you think this is? You got the wrong guy, angel. Nope. You see, because God doesn't see the way man sees. He doesn't judge the way men judge. He doesn't have respect of persons like men do. He's got a whole different set of values worked out that always work. And so here's this nothing, nobody, Gideon. A nobody. And the angel goes and takes that man from his nothing and nobody to the number one leader of the nation. See, this is why it's smart to serve God and not money. It's smart to serve God and not things. It's smart to serve God and certainly not business. You will ruin your mind as well as your health. Hello, did you hear what I'm saying to you? You will damage yourself. Because God didn't design humans to be led by stupid things. You put God in there. And you do business the way God says to do business. Buck, what's your uncle's name? Huh? Stanley Tam. Is he still around? You tell him I want him to come preach here. Help me just a little bit, Locke, if you don't mind. What's he worth? The theme of his book is God owns my business. That's Locke's uncle. I mean, what's he been worth in his day? What's millions and millions and millions. But you get that? You wouldn't know it. This is another Gideon. This is a man. Hasn't got any of the things that men count as important. But he made God his business. Not just a partner. Name of his book. I've got a copy of his book. And that's how this thing works. And if it works for Gideon, and it works for Stanley Tam, and it works on the pages of these Bibles, this Bible, let me tell you, beloved, it'll work for you. You can count on the business principles of God. Work with your might. Put your might in. Don't be too busy. A dream comes through the multitude of business. Too much business. Now, I put a translation in here so you'd grasp it. I think I put it in your notes as well. Just as being too busy gives you nightmares. Busyness, busy business is not good. Now, there's a bunch of reasons for this. Let me just name a couple, because I'm 16. What have I got? 22? My. 22, is that? My. If you let your business rule you and run you, it will keep you busier than you should be. If you are busier than you should be, then you will never get done the things you need to get done. See, that's why business is a poor taskmaster. It's a slave. It's a slave driver. It will be your ruin. If business keeps you too busy, you will be too busy to get very important things done that need to be done. Things like listening to God. Things like walking in a park with your wife. You don't think that's important, huh? Let me tell you something. We don't get to the park, but we've got to get to the beach, and you have to have hand holding time. Business too busy will keep you from playing with the kids. And don't we know how to play? Didn't we have fun the other night? You want to tell them? You don't want to tell them? You want me to tell them? Well, she hasn't been baptized yet, but she did get baptized the other night, and it was the pastor's fault. It wasn't a baptismal service, however. It was a party at their house. We were just being friends, and she just looked like she needed to go in the pool. So I helped her get there. And I had fun. I mean, it wasn't fun. You sure that wasn't fun? She was a good sport.
Why?
Good thing she's smaller than me. You need time with the kids. Need time to sit on the floor with the blocks. You need a mechanical set. If your business will keep you too busy to do the really important stuff. It'll keep you too busy to smell the rose. Visit a garden. It's worse than that. Too busy will give you nightmares. Now watch this. A multitude of dreams. Watch it. This doesn't talk about necessarily when you're sleeping. Your head will get too full of stuff so that you can't concentrate on what needs to be done. Too busy has a big price tag on it. Don't be too busy. Learn accounting. Everybody needs to take bookkeeping classes, at least. You should not, I don't know if it's required, get out of high school with it or not, but it ought to be, and it ought not to be the end of high school, it ought to be at the beginning. Now, this is really important. Look at the scripture. Be diligent. Be thou diligent to know the state of thy flocks, and look well to thy herds. Now, watch this. Because riches are not forever. That's why if you don't learn accounting and apply it to your personal household and your personal bank book and your personal assets and your vocation, if you do not apply accounting, you will find yourself poor. The riches will not last. Proper accounting makes riches stay around. Because in proper accounting, you know where the money went.
or where it shouldn't have gone, but it did. You'll know where it got to, where it's in safekeeping. You'll know where it is when you need it. God places no premium on stupidity. This is basic. Got to understand accounting. You ought to be able to keep your own books. You ought to be able to, you know, I understand. I understand that their highfalutin business is highfalutin accounting. You may not need to load a highfalutin stuff, but you need to know basic bookkeeping. You need to know when to debit and when to credit. You need to know the difference between an asset and a liability and expense account. And you need to know how to close out sales to profit and loss. And you need to know what a purchase journal is. You need to know what a sales journal is. You know how those journals play into the big picture of business. And here's the reason. Because riches will not be forever. You may have money right now, but and when Scripture talks, you ever heard the phrase, he's got holes in his pocket? Or his money burns a hole in his pocket? It comes out of the Bible. Did you know that? Money has a way of leaving. If not, well attended. So, you need to learn accounting. Need to learn how to properly apportion your assets. All right. Watch this. Watch the screen with me just for a moment. I'm going to back up here and notice this is 27, 23 to 24. So we're still in the accounting section. But there's more to it. Hay appears. The tender grass shows itself. The herbs of the mountains are gathered. The lambs are for your clothing, and the goats are the price of the field. You'll have enough goat's milk for food and the food of thy household, and for the money you'll have enough for the maintenance of your employees, your maidens, servants. It's not enough just to do accounting. You need to learn how to apportion assets to meet specific applications or needs that you know you have or will arise. I suggest that you do all of this in writing. I'm a poor example of writing things down. I have tried over the years not to write things down. I don't have sermon notes. I come here, most of the time it's not my memory. I come here finding out when I get here what I'm supposed to say to you. See, that's what I'm doing right now. That's what I'm doing all morning. I just find it out while I'm here, most of the time. But I have learned over the years that if I write things down instead of using my memory, then my memory doesn't work because it's like a muscle. If you don't use it, you lose it. So I'm in favor of making your memory work. But there are some things where memory is inadequate and insufficient. I'll suggest to you, it's in this area of accounting and apportioning assets, allocating funds for items according to the priorities that God gives you. See if we can get to the end of this. 19. Listen to your authorities in business matters. Now, this is pretty amazing. You know the story. Jesus was 12 years of age, and he's on a trip. They're making the best out of the trip. It's tax time. Tax time's important in Rome, under Roman rule. In fact, it was tax time when Jesus was born. 12 years later, the Romans require all the people to return to their hometown again for taxing.
I think that's why they were there. No. They were in Jerusalem for... maybe it wasn't tech. They were in Jerusalem for some... Now watch this. They're on their way back home, and 3 days later, Joseph and Mary can't find Jesus. 3 days. And so they go around, where's Jesus? Because they're all traveling together, I guess. And so they got to go back, and when they get back to Jerusalem, they find him. Listen to it. He's debating with the teachers in the synagogue at the age of 12. Huh? Watch this now. Now watch this, because here we meet. This is where they're... And Joseph says... Or Jesus says to Joseph, how come you're looking for me? Don't you guys know that I must be about my Father's business? Jesus thought he was to start his business at age 12. And they understood not what he was saying. They didn't know what he was talking about. They didn't understood not what he spoke unto them. And so watch this. So Jesus, under the authority of his father and mother, can you imagine this now? This is God. And he went down with them, and he came to Nazareth, back to his hometown. Watch this. And he was subject unto them. At 12, he thought he ought, in fact, he started. He's debating with the teachers, and they're astounded at the synagogue already. But his parents said, no, boy, you're coming home. And they take him back home. Look at this. And he was subject unto them. And the mother kept all these things pondering in her heart. Now watch what happened. Because he stayed subject, he increased in wisdom and stature and favor with God and favor with man. Right, watch. Next. Almost 30 years. No, it's not. 18 years later. Watch. 18 years later. He's with his mother. His dad, Joseph, has passed away. He's dead. He's at a marriage. And they run out of wine. And at this point, 18 years later, Mary starts giving him instructions to start his miracle ministry. And Jesus says, woman, what have I to do to thee? Look at this. Mine hour is not yet come. My time to start the business isn't come. He thought it was when he was 12, but he was subject to his parents. They said, no, you're coming home. And he grew in wisdom and stature and favor with God and favor with man. And he's doing that for 18 years, and he still doesn't think his hour's here yet to start the business. And it was the signal from his mother Mary that started the ministry. His mother said, just do everything he says. And he did his first miracle, and the scripture says, from that day on, he began his miracles, and his disciples, and the disciples believed in him. You want, as a youngster, to listen to your authorities. You say, well, my dad isn't business smart, or my mother's not business smart. Why should I listen to them? Yeah. The answer is twofold to that question. Number one, they'll teach you what not to do because they did it and it didn't work. Because they didn't listen to their parents or whatever. Number two. God imparts things to authorities to give those under authority beyond the wisdom of the authority in the middle. Here's God, here's the authority, here's those under authority. God's so interested in the one under authority that he passes things through here that this person doesn't even know or understand. That's why you want to listen to your mom when she says, no, I just don't feel good. I don't think you should do that. No, you shouldn't stay out. You need to come home. You need to be home at 9 o'clock. You say, and if you push your mother for an answer, she hasn't got one. Because it's not based on rationale. It's based, she doesn't even know why. See, authorities are God's ministers to us for our good. Romans 13. So God puts things in the authority that the authority doesn't have a rationale for, doesn't have a reason for. Well, I don't know the reason, honey, but it's just the way I feel. Oh, Mom, you're always like that, Mom. And you can wash it away, but let me tell you something. More protection is lost. More crimes are committed. More virginity is damaged. More morals and purity are dredged through the gutters because young people didn't listen to the way out of a temptation that was being given to them by their parents. They just didn't know what was, they didn't understand the dynamics that was going on. Listen to the scripture. Listen to the scripture. God will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able, right? But will, with the temptation, make a way to escape. See, what's happening? The real dynamics, our parents are doing stuff that's not rational, but God is making a way to escape. And that person, if that youngster throws off the authority and does his own thing, does her own thing, they rejected the way of escape. Now watch this. God is faithful. He will not suffer us to be tempted above that which we are able, but will with the temptation make a way to escape that ye may be able to bear it. There are some temptations you can't get away from. They're just there, and there's no, you'd have to leave the planet. But God says he makes a way to escape that you may be able to stay right in it and overcome. You can bear it. Listen to your authorities. That's what Jesus did. Stick to your own business. I see. Best is yet to come. And I'm going to do it Wednesday night. You got a load this morning already. Bring your notes back. Bring your notes back. And we're going to get to whatever number. We're 20, 21, 22. I'm telling you, the principles of doing business God's way are so good. And when we get to, wait till you see number 22. Oh, my word. Six bowls. Well, my hope and my prayer for you today is that, you know, we cover a lot of different subjects in any seven-year period. I don't think I've ever covered this subject before. This is a new one. So in a 14-year period, this is the first time. But my hope is that you will learn to do business God's way. Take care. Bible ways of taking care of business. Amen. We do want to give the Lord his tithe today. And remember, if you haven't given yet in the offering to the African mission to help the cause there, and you'd like to, in honor of Joe and Sue, then this would be the time just to designate it. Don't use your tithe to do that. Just whatever gifting above your tithe you wish to do, that would be wonderful. We will do that. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Sing the Amen. Once again on the Amen. Amen. And now, Heavenly Father, we bring to you these, our tithes, the first fruits of our increase. And as we have purposed in our heart, and you have helped us to do that, to give to those areas of ministry beyond the tithe which you've placed in our hearts, I know of a certainty that you will bless both gift and giver and tithe. For the tithe is not a gift. It's already yours. To hold it, withhold it, would be bad business. So we release it now to you. Bless this offering. Bless this tithe. And bless each household here. I know you will, because you promised to do it. Rebuke the devourer. Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen. God bless you as you go. David said, once I'm young, but now I'm old. I know how he felt. He said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He's faithful. Folks, the reason why we preach so hard here, it is not to try and lay hold upon the reluctance of God, because he's not reluctant. It is to try. Paul said, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. The reason I teach hard and preach hard is because your blessing will be proportional to how accurately you align yourself with the revealed will of God. Your success in business is going to be directly related of how you receive, respond to, walk in, and obey the principles of God that have to do with business. Same thing with the principles of marriage, the principles of family. And so you come here, and I want to thank you for being receivers of the Word of God. And my prayer is that as we leave each time having gathered, is that we'll leave as doers and not hearers only. Amen. Wednesday. going to move service to 6:30 instead of 7. Talked about 6 instead of 7. We might even do that, but we're going to start. So service will go from 6:30 to 7:30 instead of from 7 to 8. And if that's adverse to any number of people or anybody at all, we'll go back to 7 to 8. But from what I've been able to pull, it's a blessing to most people. Amen. Would you stand with me, please? Father, on this weekend of memorial, of remembering those who gave supreme sacrifice, the dead of yesteryear in all wars for these Americas, we have gathered with our priorities in order. Number one is to honor you. But Lord, we also do not take as trivial the dear, expensive prices that have been paid by men and women alike in our services and armed forces. The mighty have fallen. And they have blessed us. And yes, we will enjoy it today, tomorrow, with our families and friends as well we should. But we'll not be without the conscious realization of a price paid for us. First of all, the price you paid on Calvary. And secondly, the price of our fallen men and women. Now bless this weekend, these next 36 hours. Bless this people mightily in their marriages, in their family, in their businesses, and in this station under God. In thy name I pray, the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. God bless you.
We trust this teaching has been a blessing to you. For further information on other teaching and series topics, please visit our website at nothingbutthetruth.us or call us toll-free at 1-888-THE-TRUTH. That's 1-888-438-7884.